Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
There's some very sick individuals out there, and our kids are paying the price.
Hello, and welcome to episode 67 of The Vanished. 14-year-old Mimi Lewis disappeared from her home in Kosciuszko, Mississippi on May 27, 2015. She was quickly labeled a runaway by law enforcement, and they didn't even look for Mimi. We often talk about the runaway label on this show, and why many of us believe that we should stop using this term. This is Mimi's story.
Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. I've always had problems whether it was with the fit or quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist and you can find it at Skims. From cropped silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. You know that I've been wearing Skims for a long time, and recently tried one of their t-shirts. It's the best-fitting tee I've ever worn. Skims makes the best basics and foundations. I got the boyfriend t-shirt in Onyx, and it's so soft and comfortable. I want to wear it every day. It literally fits like a dream. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
This is a very special episode of the show. I recorded this interview back in January to be some bonus educational content for you guys. I hadn't had a chance to put it together until now. I often run into many different challenges while working on the show, and this week was a challenging week. I really wanted to speak to law enforcement about a different case that I've been working on. They asked me to answer a lot of questions in writing about the show and myself before they would agree to speak with me. I finally got approval at the end of the week, but they wouldn't schedule a time with me until next week. This gave me some extra time to work on this special episode that I've been wanting to get out to you guys. I interviewed Sandy Roberts, who is the founder of Halo's Investigations. We've been working together recently to shine some light on some of their cases that they've been investigating. You heard Tina from Halo's in Lexi Stacy's episode, and they are also working on Desmond Moore's case. In this interview, you will hear Sandy mention Tina several times, and that's who she's referring to. Sandy and I had spoken previously about this runaway label, and she wanted to share Mimi's story with all of you. You see, Mimi went missing in May of 2015, and law enforcement didn't look for her because they considered her a runaway. Remember, Mimi was just 14 years old. Sadly, Mimi was found murdered several months later in October of 2015. Her murder remains unsolved. In this interview that I'm about to play for you, Sandy and I discuss Mimi's story and how she has inspired the work that they do over at Halo's, and also some other important topics such as trafficking.
Mimi's real special to our heart. We've actually developed going to be presenting the first one at the Kosciuszko High School this year. And she's kind of our voice now. And we promised her family that her face and her story would never go away. It's a sad story.
Yeah. So how did that all transpire? I know she was initially labeled as a runaway, which is a huge issue.
Yeah, that's a huge issue, and that's why she is our face. you know, for Halos. And, you know, we keep it out there because we are taking a stand, you know, that they have got to stop labeling these kids as runaways. Because when they get labeled as runaways, then it's kind of put it on the not so serious. And with child trafficking and the things that are happening in today's world, it's a different world. And, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, this runaway label, what it does is it transpires into nothing being done. Mimi disappeared in May of 2015. She disappeared on May the 27th, is what they had put. It was actually the night of the 26th, but the 27th in the morning. And she disappeared out of her own, you know, from her house. Her mother saw her about 2 or 3 o'clock that morning when she had gotten up to, you know, to use the restroom or whatever. Mimi was there. Everything was fine. And in the morning, she was gone. And her window was up, and they had had something over her window, and it was taken down, and, you know, and everything. Well, as far as Halos, we got involved on June the 29th. After her disappearance, and we talked to the family, and we took the case. So we started a thorough investigation on this, and by doing that, we've learned a lot of things. We interviewed the family, got all the details, and so Tina went there to the house, and we discussed about, you know, the interview and the interrogation and stuff that we were going to do. And everybody was there. So they had gotten the family there because, you know, they knew that Tina was coming. They hadn't been in Mimi's room or anything since she had disappeared. And so, of course, Tina and I discussed it. And, you know, she was going to go in and just take pictures but not disturb anything. So she did. She went in and she took pictures and everything. And then, of course, she sat down and had a conversation with everybody. And during that conversation, there was a lot of things that came out that were very, very suspicious. It was a good investigation. It really was. And then her and I had gone up there together and talked with them. And then we talked with the Kosciuszko City Police Department. And we got a email address and everything. So what we did is, as we started gathering the information, we would turn it into the Kosciuszko City Police Department. And so during our investigation, there was something that came up in the interview that where Tina was at the house, that someone had, you know, made a comment as to, if you're looking for a dead body, you should search Happy Hollow. Well, of course, that was an immediate red flag. So, you know, we started putting everything together, and Tina actually went to Happy Hollow and was drove down the road. It was a real woodsy area, you know, acres and acres and stuff. But she had driven by and was looking to see if she could see anything that would be pertinent to the case. So anyway, we turned everything in to the police department. Well, the family kept calling us, and they kept saying that the city police wasn't doing anything, that they couldn't get them to, you know, answer or anything. They couldn't even get a case number at first. And so we called and told them that we were contracted by the family. We needed to get a case number so that way we could refer to the case number whenever anything happened in our reports, you know, for whenever this may go to court. So after about 3 days, we got the case number, you know, and so we proceeded on with the investigation. The family was getting more discouraged. They were getting no help from the city police. They could get no answers. And unfortunately, we found out later that they had done nothing on the case. Mimi's body was found in October by some hunters that were out hunting, and she was found on Happy Hollow. exactly where we told them that she would be. In fact, Tina was so upset because she had actually driven by where she was found. So it was devastating to us because that was our first case that our missing child was murdered. And it really hit us hard because, you know, we had become so close with the family and everything else. Well, when her body was found, it was in Atala County. So it was in the county rather than the city. So it was a different police department. And the county, Detective Shaw and Nail, they told us that the city had done nothing on the case. All the evidence was gone. I had to give them all the stuff again so that the investigation could start over. And it was just a tragedy.
Yeah.
It was a horrible tragedy because, first of all, the child could have been found in August instead of October. You know, I can't go into a lot of it because it's an open investigation.
Right.
We do feel like we know who murdered Mimi, you know, and everyone is aware of that. She was found, and of course, they sent her to the crime, you know, sent her remains to the crime lab, and, you know, her family, of course, was just devastated. And of course, we were devastated because not only, you know, was she found exactly where we had said, but knowing that she had been out there and that nobody was doing anything over on the other side because they labeled her as a runaway. You know, I talked to the school. Mimi was a great student. You know, she had never been any kind of problem in school. She had goals. She had dreams. It wasn't that, you know, she was in any kind of trouble, that she was, which it doesn't matter either way. No child deserves.
Right.
And they get out there, and there's so much out there that happens. And what has happened, and just a few weeks after, you know, just shortly after, it may have been longer than that, a little longer than that, two doors down, there was a 13-year-old girl that the grandmother found this young boy who happened to used to be attached to the other family, Mimi's family. They found this young boy in there. The grandmother did. He was hiding under the bed. And the grandmother happened to come in. And they took her to the hospital. And she had been drugged. And outside of the house, there were two guys sitting in the car, two grown men. We feel like that, you know, this could have been attached some kind of way. They never even went to her, you know, to do any kind of forensics on her room or anything. So, but in the room, Tina had taken a picture of Mimi's, you know, different things in her room. And there was a letter from one of her teachers that was talking about what a great student she was. And, you know, that she, there was anything she could do to help her because Mimi's father had passed away about 3 months before.
Okay.
And she was, you know, had gotten extremely depressed. We feel like someone used her situation in order to draw her into what happened. And like I said, I can't, you know, I have to be careful because it is an open investigation. But I will say that Atala County, Shaw and Nail, they're doing a fantastic job. They've been very good about communicating and, you know, letting us know and moving forward. You know, they're going through everything that had been turned in and things like that. And so that is very comforting. The thing that is very, very disappointing is that we have not been able to get an autopsy report. And it's been over a year. And we talked to the coroner, and the coroner said that he's trying to get it. He said he's got about 8 cases from 2015 that he's never been able to get it on. And so he said to have them to call up there and ask them the reasoning why the autopsy has not been released. Because the sad part about it, they've never been able to even put a tombstone on their baby's grave because they have to have the autopsy report for, you know, a death certificate. The coroner, I mean, he was wonderful. He even said that he would try to get a paper to the family so that way they could at least have a date, and that he felt like that the funeral home or the, you know, that was making the headstone, you know, they felt like that by that they could do it. But the mother is so scared, and she doesn't trust anybody.
Yeah.
Because of the way that everything happened, you know, she's afraid that if they get that paper and she gets a tombstone, then when the autopsy report comes in, it's going to say something different. Or she's afraid that she won't get the autopsy report if she goes ahead and goes with that.
Okay.
You know, and I understand her pain and her hurt.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's been treated so terrible. You know, in other words, not doing anything, not talking to anybody, not nothing. And this child was 14 years old. Her teacher said that she was a great student. And she told me that 2 days before Mimi went missing, school had just let out. Well, she said that she had seen Mimi in town, and she said Mimi had what it looked to be like choke marks on her neck.
Huh.
And she said she asked Mimi, you know, what happened? She said, oh, it's nothing. And she kind of pulled her shirt up and said, it's nothing. We was just playing around. But she told Mimi, if you need me, you know, call me. Very, very nice lady. But she said Mimi was a great student. And the only thing that she had noticed was that since her dad died, that she seemed to be very depressed. But she was always a real quiet student. She wasn't one that was out boisterous or anything like that. Just an amazing kid, you know, from everything. I feel like I know her. And like I said, she's the face of Halos now because of this labeling as a runaway. And we promised her family that her face will be out there forever. And so we did, as an organization, we have established a Mimi Lewis Scholarship Fund. Of course, her name is McKendriona Lewis. She went by Mimi. We've established a scholarship fund, and we just talked to the counselors at the high school. She wasn't at the high school yet, but she would have gone that following year to the high school. And what we're going to do is we're going to try to have a plaque made to, you know, for the high school to hang in there for the scholarship. And then every year we're going to give a scholarship to an at-risk youth that is really trying to do well, but, you know, maybe they don't have, they're not able to get all of these big scholarships like the top 10 or, you know, or something like that.
Right.
We want to give a scholarship to an at-risk youth to give them an opportunity, you know, to help them. It's not going to be a big scholarship start now because we just, you know, received our 501c3 this past year. So we're in the process, you know, that we are trying to raise money to do that through that. But, you know, we'll get it no matter what. I've put money in myself if it's needed. It doesn't matter because it's needed. And Mimi's voice is going to be a very important for other children to know that it's okay if something's going on to tell someone.
Yeah.
Because Mimi never told anyone.
What do you think leads certain kids to be more vulnerable to, you know, somebody who is manipulating them, whether it's in person or on the internet?
Well, I feel like that the, you know, what happens is a lot of, you know, everything is social media, and that's where the big part is. But some of it is in person, too. And, you know, I think that it's the promises of that you can do this or you can do that, or, But I think that, you know, they kind of stereotype a lot of the reasons that children get drawn out into trafficking or into situation to where they're raped and murdered or whatever the case, and are put out there as exploiting them. It's a fear, you know, at first. Sometimes it's somebody acting like a boyfriend. Young kids like that, they're vulnerable to that. You know, make them feel special or whatever. If they're having depression problem, they act like they care. They're having peer pressure problem, they act like they care. And so it's like, I can talk to this person.
Right.
And before you know it, they're drawn in. And once they get drawn in, then the predator turns around and starts threatening them, puts fear in them. And a lot of times they go ahead, they get them on drugs.
Yes.
You know, this will help you, you know, just take this and it'll make you, you know, feel better. And of course, then a lot of times it may even be a date drug, a date rape drug. A lot of these kids, they're drawn out there, they're raped, they're starved, and the fear is put in them that if you say anything, you know, we're going to go get your little sister, or we're going to go get your brother, or we're going to kill your parent.
Yeah.
Or we're going to blast pictures, because, you know, they'll put them in these states and take lewd pictures. You know, we're going to put this all over to your friends and let them see
right
what you're doing. And so it becomes a manipulation.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
Now, what do you think it will take for police to stop labeling kids as runaways? Because I don't think that even if they do leave, say a teen leaves, often they've actually been lured away.
Lured, yes, yes.
And like you said, that label just doesn't. People ignore when they say see missing runaway. They ignore it. It's not important. They left on their own. But they're still so vulnerable at 14, 15.
Yes, and the thing about it is, yes, they left on their own. But you know what? It doesn't matter. They're missing. And more times than not, they have been lured online. We have kids that play on Xbox and stuff that meet these predators in these chat rooms. You know, and that's what they're looking for. And kids give all their information out there. And it's a new day. It's not just like, you know, 20 years ago, you know, somebody ran away for a day or two. Now that happens. That happens today, too. You know, they go with their friends for a day or two and that's it. But what they have to understand is that with technology, the times are changing. And it's no stereotype kid that is getting lured. You have kids from all economics, you know, poor families. You have rich families. You have policemen's daughters and sons. You have attorneys' daughters and sons. There's no stereotype because child trafficking is the second largest business next to drugs. And drugs goes along with it. So, I mean, it is the top crime in the United States. And what we're doing is trying to get the awareness out. We had a meeting yesterday with Crime Stoppers and law enforcement. And, you know, we're trying to get the awareness out, you know, and be the extra resources. We know that they don't have time or resources to go on there and check out all their friends and do that, or, you know, check out this or check out that. There's hours involved. That's what we do. Let us collect those things. Whenever a child goes missing, we go to their pages, and every single person on social media, no matter if it's Instagram, Facebook, whatever, Snapchat, whatever, and we send one of those missing flyers and contact every single friend. Doesn't matter if it's 1,500, 2,000, you know, that's part of what we do. And believe me, they start talking. And so we're trying to get law enforcement to see. Labeling them as a runaway puts a shadow over what's really going on.
There's also kids who run away because they're running away from something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there is a big problem in the system. You know, there's a lot of children that go missing and from the state custodies. And that is a big red flag because somebody isn't doing something. These children that are out there and that get trafficked, they end up, a lot of times, if you know, they say they're a runaway or whatever, when they catch them, they arrest these kids and they call them prostitutes. You know, they're not prostitutes, they're victims. And then a lot of times they'll take and put them in the juvie system. And there are traffickers that recruit out of the juvie system. And so a lot of times if they go in the juvie system and then they're put back out on the street, that trafficker, the same one, is still waiting for them to get out to resume their work.
Yeah, it's such a messed up cycle that they find themselves in.
It is. And it's an epidemic. I mean, it is literally an epidemic. And I mean, that's why, you know, I'm retired and I started this organization. And I'm a private investigator now. And I mean, the more and more you see, the more and more heartbreaking. And our children are at such risk. And I'm talking all children. And a lot of times it does lead right back home. But then a lot of times everything was great at home. They were great in school. Honor roll students. I mean, it doesn't have to be somebody that is out there having problems. And if they are having problems, they need help. And they don't need to be put in juvie system. They need to have transition housing so these kids can get, and that's what our goal is.
Yeah.
Our goal is I want to open a resource center. And I want to have an actual place that people can come to get resources for this. And not only that, to open a, you know, to eventually have a transition house, because a lot of these kids have no place to go. They need to have a place so that way they can have educational opportunities. Maybe they need to get their GED, you know, help them to see what they're interested in. Enroll them in a community college. Get them some clothes. Teach them how to do a resume, you know. Give them love and mentoring. I mean, they need that. I was a CASA volunteer for 20 years, court-appointed special advocate, and I'm the one that used to go to court for these kids. And, I mean, they need it. Kids have to have somebody to speak up for them because their voices are not being heard.
I recently saw that there was a transitional house, like just like you're talking about, by where I live, and I never knew it was here. I'd never heard of it, and somebody mentioned it as a charity locally, and I thought, wow, that's really fantastic. And so much of this stuff goes on, and you never hear about it.
Right, exactly. And it needs to be heard about. People need to know. And so that's what our organization is doing is, you know, we're going to try to, you know, have some events and stuff to try to. And of course, we're looking for a grant writer. So if any of your listeners are out there and they, you know, are grant writers, please contact us. We need some.
Okay.
Because in order to be able to get this transition house open, you know, you got to have funding. And we're willing to put in all of the monies that we can. We have been. We've traveled. We went to Mimi's funeral. And her family actually held her until January till we could go.
Where would you like me to send listeners for more information about your organization?
To our website. And that would be www.halosinvestigations.org. And we are a nonprofit organization, and we would like for all of your listeners to know that we never charge our families for our services. We never charge anybody for anything. We don't charge law enforcement. This is all volunteer work, and we have some dedicated people that are really on fire for our kids. And so they're never charged, and we do all of this pro bono. And we don't take any other cases for pay. Our organization is strictly focused on missing and trafficked children. And that's what we focus on. And, you know, it's not a paid, you know, even though it's an investigation company, it's not a paid investigation company. But you know what? The sad part about it, is that there's many people that do. They'll say, oh, I know I can find your child. You know, all you got to do is come up with a $5,000 retainer. They never do anything. And it's absolutely awful how these people try to extort money out of out of families that are already suffering.
It's terrible. And you see it in different ways. You'll see people, you know, saying they'll find them or that they have information, but they need $20,000. And I think it's hard, especially early on for people. If you have someone who's been missing for 15 years, you get a little bit more suspicious. But right out of the gate, I think it's tough when somebody's dangling information over you.
Yes.
Because of the what if.
People will put their house, I mean, they get second mortgages on their house. They go and borrow money, you know, and stuff like that because they're so desperate. And people, there's people out there that actually take advantage of that.
One thing I wanted to ask you about was, I think there's this assumption that girls are targeted for trafficking and boys aren't so much. Do you see that the ratio as being more equal or that it just doesn't happen to boys, which I don't believe that. But I think a lot of people have a vision of that this is something that happens to girls.
That is what people believe. But I can tell you by experience, boys are trafficked just as much as girls. A lot of times the boys won't come forward as much.
Yes.
you know, because of it, of them being males. And right now there is a big demand for 12-year-old boys.
Why is that? I mean, that's terrible. I probably don't want to know the answer to that, but why is that age group targeted?
It's usually about 12 to 14 is average on girls, which is actually goes up to 17, but the big percentage is the younger, because the Johns, the ones that are buying them, that's what they're, it's the demand. They go by the demand, and there is so many predators out there that are looking for young boys. Boys are between 11 and 13.
Okay.
But it's about a 50% ratio. You hear more about girls. You don't hear as much about boys.
Yeah, I recently covered two missing teen boys from California, and the police initially labeled both of them runaways, and they've now taken that label away, but it took a couple of months.
We're making a stand on that. We need your listeners to stand with us. The more people that we have speaking out on to remove the labels, you know, that's the only way that we're going to be able to fight this. And we fight it with every, you know, and I mean, we've got some great police out there. They work with us wonderfully. And but the thing about it is, I know that they go by protocol, but you know what? It's things are different today. It's not the same scenario. Technology has changed the whole way that we have to look at things. And I mean, we find kids on escort sites every night. We search every night escort sites. We used to search Backpage. I think they just temporarily shut them down for right now. But anyway, of course, I'm sure they'll try to fight to get back open. But I mean, you know, that's only one of many. There are many, many, many out there. These kids, even on Instagram and Snapchat and stuff like that, I mean, they're being lured. You go on there and you'll see 40 and 50-year-old men talking to 13 and 15-year-old kids.
My kids are 10 and 7, and they got iPods for Christmas, and I really am very, very vigilant about what they're allowed to have on there. And they're young enough that they could accidentally flip some setting that I set. And I noticed that these games that they want to download have chat on them.
Yes.
They're just your basic game. They're nothing extraordinary. You could play against somebody and talk with them. And
yes.
Why, I don't even know why that needs to be there. They don't need to be talking to strangers. These games are obviously aimed at children.
They are. And predators know that. That's why they go on there. And the banner that we use, may have even seen it across Facebook or something, but it's a banner with a man unzipping his face, you know, that this is supposed to be a 15, you know, a 16-year-old boy or whatever, talking to this girl, and it's a 40-something-year-old man that planned to meet with your daughter this afternoon.
Yeah, and I do think that when kids get into that situation, I could see myself in that situation as maybe a preteen or an early teen, and if that happened, I would be afraid that maybe I would get in trouble, and so I would try to deal with the situation myself, even though I wouldn't have been capable of handling it myself. I could just see how easy it is to fall into that trap.
Yes, absolutely. And you are right on. That's exactly what happens. They get scared. And then before you know it, they're sending new pictures. And once they get one picture.
Yeah.
Then the threats start. And then they're sucked. You know, these poor kids are sucked into that. And then it escalates from there, and before you know it, your child is gone.
Yeah, you can see how easy it is for somebody to just kind of fall into that, and kids, you know, they don't want to get in trouble, so they try to make it go away. But these people have been doing this, and they have all their, you know, they have a playbook that they go by, essentially.
Right. Or sometimes, you know, it's even happening within the family.
Yeah.
So they're embarrassed. And of course, you know, kids, they love their parents, because a lot of it's coming too from, there are actually people that are selling their children because they're drug addicted. So in order to get their drugs and maintain whatever they do, they'll sell their kids, you know, for sex in order to get the money.
Yeah, and that's something I think that most people can never really process.
Right.
How a parent, most people who have children could never understand being in that place, how anyone could ever get there to do such a thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a lot of times with that, people don't hear about it, but you know what? People need to know about it.
Right.
They need to, because there are also apps out there that you can get to monitor. And even if it's a teen, you know, I know you don't, you know, you want to respect privacy.
Yeah.
But in today's age, you know, and there are apps that you can get to put on your children's devices that everything comes to your email. So, you know, that's how there was a little boy that was on the Xbox, and one of these predators lured him. And the mother, though, thank God, had his stuff monitored. And she got a email in that this kid was going to be meeting this person at the gas station down the street that afternoon.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, thank God, she had that set up, or else her child would have been gone. Because what she did is she called the police, and they set up a sting operation. And whenever he got there, they arrested him.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop, with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished.
It's so scary when you think of all these situations, and it almost feels like as we get older, we can't keep up with the technology as fast as our children are able to.
You can't.
It seems overwhelming, you know, when you're trying to police this device, an iPad or a phone or something, to keep up with every new app that comes out that they can secretly text on or hide pictures on.
Yes. And there's so many of them. And I mean, it's hard for us, and this is what we do every day. It's hard for us to keep up with all the new stuff, you know, because we'll be searching, and all of a sudden we hear of a new app, and there you go. There it is. So it's a lot, but if everybody could just start being aware, the awareness, you know, what we say is engage, educate, and empower. Because if you can engage, and that's what we're doing. We're trying to engage with families, communities. We're going to start a movement called the CAP Act, and that's Communities Against Predators and Child Trafficking, to make people aware, make schools aware. You know, they're being lured right out of school, too, because there's some teens that's already been lured and put into it. So what they do is part of their thing is they have to get recruits. So, I mean, it's everywhere. It is everywhere. And the kids need to be made aware of what to look for, because a lot of these children are vulnerable and they really don't have a clue, like we talked about just a few minutes ago, until it's too late.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that is really important, not only for them to look out for themselves, but also for their friends.
Yes.
If somebody goes missing and they mentioned to one of their friends that they were talking to somebody on Instagram or Facebook.
Yes.
That could be very important.
Oh, that is vital. And that's why we have we've put together a presentation that we're going to be starting to use this year. And it's strictly for middle and high school presentation. And it's about all the different apps and the dangers to watch for. And because in our investigations, as I said, we always contact all of the missing friends on their friends list. And a lot of times that's where we get information to go check something. So yes, it is important that everybody is looking out for everybody, because our world is technology and it's not going away. And you want your kids to be able to be socially okay, because they're going to have to use technology. But they also need to be socially aware of what to, and kids are smart. A lot of children, if you talk to them, teens and preteens, they know a lot that's going out there, on out there, that the parents and families have no clue about. You know, they're more educated in it than a lot of us. But we have got to get the word out there so that others can be educated. And if somebody needs an event, you know, in the area, and we have somebody close by, we will be happy to come and speak about it. Because it is absolutely an epidemic. It's getting worse by the day. And our children are being not only taken, they're being labeled as runaways. They've been taken. And a lot of times they either get out there addicted to drugs and being trafficked out, and then they end up dead. They say the average lifespan of a child that is taken out and trafficked is 7 years.
Wow.
And see, they're getting younger and younger. They're getting younger and younger because the demand is getting younger and younger. And they get a lot more money for a young child. And when I say young, I'm talking sometimes 7, 8 years old.
Yeah. And I mean, I was seeing people who used to be in the drug industry are seeing that the trafficking industry is more profitable, because you can sell the same person over and over again, unlike you can't sell the same bag of drugs over and over again.
Right. They can sell the drugs once, but they can sell a person over and over.
Which is a terrible thing to think, yes. Like that, yes. But it's true.
Yes. And it's big business, and they're pros at it. You know, they have become professional at what they do. They know exactly how to groom They groom them first, then they lure them, and then they get them. And, and every single day, children are going missing like this. And it's time for, it's time for communities to take a stand. And that's why I said we're going to start this movement, communities against predators and child traffickers. I think that our laws need to be stricter on these people that are buying our children, because they are just as bad as the pimps.
Yeah, if there wasn't a demand for it, there wouldn't be a problem.
That's exactly right. So if the things would get stiffer, and of which they are, it seems like they're having more sting operations and things like that. But, you have people buying children that are in the professional world.
You hear about the Super Bowl being a huge market for...
It's huge, yes. Any sporting event, we've noticed, like on the escort sites and things like that, that anytime that there's a big sporting event in an area, if you go to that area and search, they're going to have triple the amount of girls and boys that they're selling than any other time.
Yeah, it seems like such a huge battle to take on, but it seems like maybe 10, 15 years ago, trafficking was something that a lot of us thought happened in third world countries and not here. So,
yes, that's right. And a lot of people still think that,
yeah.
Dawn. A lot of people still think that. And what they don't understand, it's as prevalent in the United States as it is overseas.
Yeah. I think we have more awareness of it now than what we used to.
Yes, we do. We do. And it's important to continue that. It needs, because when we talk to a lot of these families that their children go missing, they didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
That all of this was going on out there. Now, Mimi wasn't trafficked. We know pretty much what went on there. She wasn't a trafficking victim, but she was a child that someone used because of her loss of her father, to lure her out and to, she was murdered. She was brutally murdered. It's a really sad situation. It is, her family is so pitiful, and they haven't even been able to put a tombstone on their child's grave. I mean, that is, to me, totally unacceptable. I know that the state crime place is behind on all of that. We checked into it. We know it. But the only thing that Mimi's autopsy needs is a doctor's signature. They said that's all they're waiting on. It doesn't take but a second to do a signature. And if that could put this family at ease to be able to put their child to final rest and be able to have a tombstone. They won't even go back out to the cemetery because it's like she doesn't exist, never existed. And that's why I promised the family she will always exist and she will live on as long as Halos is here. She will be, I said, when we get our resource center, we will have a large picture of her. She's a voice, and her life is going to matter to other children.
It happened to her. That can happen to other kids, and it could be a situation just like that where it's somebody who is targeting a specific child, not just specifically for trafficking, but for their own.
Right, but just for their own pleasure.
But it's that grooming, the luring away, and all of those techniques that they use that really across the board everybody needs to be aware of and really vigilant about.
Absolutely, yes, because it doesn't necessarily have to be, like you said, for trafficking. It could be for their own pleasure, their own sick mind, or their own purpose, or just to murder them. There's some very sick individuals out there, very sick individuals, and our kids are paying the price.
That brings us to the end of episode 67. If you would like more information about HALOS and the work they're doing, you can visit them at halosinvestigations.org. They're also on Facebook, and they have a page dedicated to Mimi. It's called Justice for Mimi. Sandy is also in the Vanish podcast discussion group if you have questions for her about their organization or what you can do to help. Of course, if you have any information about Mimi's disappearance and murder, you can contact HALOS tip line at 803-599-4256. This episode was more of a bonus for you guys, and I will be posting the next full episode in a few days, after I finally catch up with the Kentucky State Police. You may have seen the hashtag tripod on social media the past few days. This is a campaign that you will probably be hearing a lot about this month. We all love listening to podcasts. I know that I love to listen when I'm cooking and cleaning or driving. We've all been in that place where we've been really excited to tell a friend or family member about something we heard on a show, and their reaction is, "What's a podcast?" So what we're asking is for all of you to show someone that you know how to listen to a podcast. The more people we can get listening, the better. Just think about it for this show alone. The more people we can reach with these stories, it increases our chances of finding someone and bringing closure to a family. So if we all just showed one person this month how to listen to a podcast, just think about how many more people we could get tuned in. If you would like to reach me, I have a Facebook page and a group. There's a contact form at thevanishedpodcast.com. My Twitter handle is @thevanishedpod, and I am also on Instagram. Thanks everyone for listening, and I will catch up with you guys again in a few days.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot. And someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.